that he in fact does in fact destroy and break down people's ability to get stuff. Now, when we had Katrina down there, it was okay, everybody, oh, it's so terrible, we didn't get down there right away. We got down there really quick. We even got over to the Tsunami over there. We just expect more. But you know, with trucks and with the ability to travel and the ability to airlift things in, we can do stuff really quick. Well, the supply lines of the earth are going to just be disrupted in this plague. It's going to be like God saying, I'm boxing you in. You're going to look around and you're going to see scorched earth. How many of you have ever walked on scorched earth? You ever walked on it? Could be around a fire pit or something. Crunches under your feet, doesn't it? Yeah, you smell the smoke. You see the cinders, and maybe you've driven through some things in other states where there was a great, terrible fire. Such is going to be the case on earth everywhere you look. It's going to be all black. It's going to be all bad. It's going to sting your eyes. It's going to sting your nose. And you're going to be looking. You're going to see the first plague. You're going to see the second plague. And God is going to do some remarkable stuff. Verse 10 says, and the third angel sounded, and there fell a great star from heaven, burning as it were a lamp. And it fell upon the third part of the rivers and upon the fountains of the waters. And the name of the star is called Wormwood, and the third part of the waters became Wormwood. And many men died of the waters because they were made bitter. Now, go back to verse 8 because I was trying to find this and I'm scanning it. I thought maybe I mixed up. But verse 8 says that the sea became blood. And that was the connection toward, again, first of all, hail and fire. Now we got blood water. Most people, even with just a little smattering of knowledge of the Bible, remember that in Egypt, God turned the water to blood. Is it who's doing it? What's this all? This is God. You see his fingerprint, you see. You see how he moves and what he does. And then in verse 10 and 11, it says that he's going to turn the waters bitter. Now, the fresh water is going to be really bad. A lot of people are going to die because they drink of this water. Now, I was driving through town yesterday, coming from the church, going home last evening. And I guess I knew this, but I really, for some reason, the Lord just pointed out maybe because of this. But if you drive by the mall, you got three huge water towers really close. Looks like a bunch of alien ships, you know. Three huge water towers. Now, I don't know if I've ever seen that anywhere else, but these three huge water towers are all really close. You can see them all from each one place. You can see them all right there. Now, folks, we are blessed to have fresh water. In fact, we live near the Great Lakes, and that's why a lot of industry took place up here, because we had all this good fresh water. Yeah, everybody gravitates up toward the Great Lakes. You know what? You might think, well, we're good. I've actually heard people talk about how they're going to have to start porting water out to the other side of the United States because there's needs and fresh water's in trouble. Folks, listen. That's going to be the first thing to be hit. Those are the big, big storehouses. But do you know that if you go down and you go back and you listen to how people are trying to renegotiate their ideas of evolution and how things happen, some of them will go so far as to say, yes, it seems that a great asteroid hit our Earth way back, they would say millions of years. We know it's probably about 4,000 years ago. And it hit right down there in the Gulf of Mexico and up in there. And then what happened when it hit is there's a big depression under the ocean and how it probably created a lot of the things we see over in the Grand Canyon. That an asteroid probably hit this Earth. Now, God threw one once, and he's going to throw another one. And he's going to aim perfectly. And it's very likely it'll break up and just hit right where he needs to hit. But God is going to cast a great star from the earth, from the heavens. He's going to hit all of the water sources, and he's going to make a third of all of the waters to be contaminated and turned into wormwood, turned into death, if you will. And the Bible says that many men died in verse 11. Of the waters. Now, we've all seen those people who have been stuck on a ship. You know, the everything's going crazy, and they're looking at the water, and there's water everywhere, but they're dying of thirst. But they're in the ocean; you can't drink that water. We've all seen that, right? That'll drive a man mad. And people will know, perhaps pretty soon, that this is killing people. But there will be points where people will just say, "I got to drink. I got to take a chance because they're going to be so thirsty." Now, folks, the ghosts who came out of Great Tribulation, they were not exempted from this. Go back to chapter 7, in verse 16. The Bible says, they hunger no more, they neither thirst anymore, neither shall the sun light upon them nor any heat. This is those who were saved out of the great tribulation. These people are not exempted. They're going to have to pay a deep, desperate price. They're going to have to endure to the end. And enduring means that they're going to have to put up with all of the misery and devastation that is represented in these trumpets. And the Bible says in verse 12, "And the fourth angel sounded, and a third part of the sun was smitten, and a third part of the moon, and a third part of the stars. So the third part of them was darkened, and the day shone not for a third part of it, and the night likewise." Now folks, this is the fourth, and it's nature. It's all in nature. God is using hail. He's using asteroids or meteors. I do not believe this is nuclear. I do not believe it's nuclear because God doesn't have any of the angels talk about war. War was mentioned earlier. What I believe is I believe this is an upheaval. I believe this is God saying, "Here's my fingerprints," because again, when you see three or a third part of the day, you have to go back and you have to look at your Bibles and say, "Where have I seen anything like this before?" Well, if you go back in the Egyptian plagues, what happened? Well, in the Egyptian plagues, they had 3 days of darkness. So dark, the Bible says, that you could feel the darkness. And no one moved for 3 days. Yet in the land of Goshen, they had light. They sat there paralyzed for fear because it was dark. What is God saying? God's saying there's going to come a time that if you don't come to Jesus, you're going to be cast into outer darkness. Parched earth. The greatest commodity in hell is going to be a drip of water to cool your tongue. Please don't go there. You don't have to. What he's saying. Why? Because he's merciful. Well, he's merciful. Do you remember Jesus came upon a man who was deaf and mute? And somebody said, "Would you heal my son?" I believe it was somebody's son. He said, "Will you heal him?" And he looks at him, and the Bible says he touched his tongue and he touched his ears on himself, Jesus did. And then he looked at the man, and I remember Max Lucado brought out a really good point. He says, "You can't talk to somebody who's deaf, they can't hear you. So what do? You do sign languages. I'm going to fix your ears. I'm going to open your mouth. I'm going to help you talk." God wants you to know that God never changes. He is the same yesterday, today, and forever. He loves you with an everlasting love. He loves you so much that He sent Jesus to die on the cross to absorb the consequences your sin demanded. The hell and judgment your sin demands. You're not getting out alive. Your sin demands to be judged, but there is someone who will pay your debt. Wow. That's the age of grace. But once the church has apostatized to the point where they're good for very little anymore, these things will unfold because God will say, "Okay, I'm done with you. I'm going to graft you out, Romans 11. I'm going to graft back in Israel." You see, when the church has given up being God's people, when we give up taking the battle to the devil and beginning and plundering the gates of hell, when we've given up living holy lives, when we've given up God as God and began to renegotiate things, when we say now that one person is bad for one reason, but this over here, this fornicator or this adulterer, they're not so bad. Because, you know, after all, they love each other. And who do we think we are? They're good. They're bad. Everything's good, evil's evil, good. The Bible says, man, it's a terrible time when things start saying good, evil. Good is evil and evil is good. You know what? Fornication is still sin. Can I get a witness? And I don't care whether it's between same sex or between opposite sex. It's sin. And God says it is deserving of eternal judgment. But we sit around and we play footsies and we as a church don't even step up and say we ought not be doing that. Now folks, this is a dark day. And God says because things are so dark, and this is the whole point of every dispensation, God says this. He says, "I'm going to give you a chance. Here's one tree. Don't eat of it. When you eat of it, you're going to die. Surely you'll die." And so He gave them some time there, and eventually they ate of it. Man, in his nature, wandered. He gave them conscience. It got so violent, He brought the Noahic flood. He gave them promise, and they got so bad, He had to interject the law and wipe out all those people and the Canaanites and put Israel. So every one of the dispensations came to failure because God is trying to tell us something. We think we are our own gods. We think we can figure it out and fix it. We cannot. We need God. And every man, woman, boy, and girl has to come to grips with the fact that they stand alone and naked, unclothed in every whit before God Almighty, and He sees you, and He sees everything about you, and He sees every sin, and every one of them is mounting on your back, and He says, come to me, and I will give you rest. That's what God said. And we say, well, I got it. I got this. I'm good. You're not good. You're bad. And all you got to do is admit it, and God will say, come on over here. I'll give you a hug and make it okay. Because that's what God does. And He's waiting for people to come. And He says, look at the blood. Look at the hail and the fire. Look at the darkness. And when you look at that darkness, I gave you four B's. One was bitterness for the water. And the last one was blackness. The blackness will not just be a darkening. It will be a blackening. I believe for a third of the day, people aren't going to be able to move. I think God's going to turn the lights completely out like He did in Egypt. And I think He's going to wake them back up at the end of the third of that day, and at night too. It's going to be so dark. He's going to say, listen, hello. And it's not sarcastic. It's Him saying, I can loose your tongue. I can open your ears. I can save you. God loves you so much. But you want to know, as He concludes this whole thing, verse 13 says, and I beheld, this is John again speaking, he says, and I beheld and heard an angel flying through the midst of heaven, saying with a loud voice, woe, woe, woe to the inhabitants of the earth by reason of the other voices of the trumpets of the three angels which are yet to sound. Beloved, as bad as this is, this angel is saying, you ain't seen nothing yet. You think scorched earth and dire thirst is bad? You think bloody waters in the sea? You go to the ocean and all you see is red rolling up on the shore? You think that's bad? He says, you just wait. And in chapter 9, He's going to unleash the demons who have been bound up since the days of Noah, and He's going to let them have their way on this earth, and they are not happy. They've been enraged and being eaten up year after year, hundreds of years after hundreds of years, century, millennia after millennia, and they are not happy. And God is going to say, woe unto you, because they're going to be unleashed. Now, beloved, this is not as in Dr. LaHaye and Jerry Jenkins' story about the angel flying through and some guys looking through a telescope and they said, look what that. No, this is what John sees. This is the backstory. Nope, it's just going to unfold. And when it unfolds, this world is going to say, wonder what hit it. Because everything before the flood is a lot different than everything after the flood. But when this happens, the demons are going to be seen with the bare eyes. And they're going to torment men because they hate you. And they hate you. Those that are not bound in chains are still moving and they hate you today. As much as those that are bound hate you. But they know that if they act out where they shouldn't, God will bind them too. Remember that that demon-possessed man came up and the demon spoke and said, please don't torment us before it's time. They know they're getting it. And they know their buddies got it. The demons know what you and I act like it doesn't exist. The devil is real. And when you got saved, you got a bullseye on your forehead. And he's after you. And he wants to neutralize you. And he'll throw whatever he can by virtue of God's chain. And you only let him go so far. But he'll throw whatever he can at you. And if you don't get in the game, you're going to be obliterated. Because the devil doesn't fight fair. Beloved, today, I wonder where you are. Would you bow with me?